numbers. And I showed you there in John 3:14 and 15 where our Lord Jesus Christ referred to this happening as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And I tell you, this is one of those places. And you know, in the scriptures tells us in the New Testament so many things about Christ in the Old Testament. And the Lord's people who've been regenerated, been born by the Spirit of God, see things from God's Word that other men don't see. They really do. That's why he told Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. Secondly, he can't enter into the kingdom of God. How you get in the kingdom of God? God puts you in the kingdom of God by a new birth. And God was in Christ reconciling us unto himself. And of God, Christ is made. God did this. God made Christ to be unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification. And you know that's why the Lord Jesus Christ, he's talking about his sheep. And some Pharisees came around and asked him, said, well, if you're the Christ, just come right out and tell us plainly. Just say it. He said, I've told you. And yet you believe me not. You know why you don't believe me? Because you're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. That's the difference. He told them, look, he said, you will tell me plainly. He told them plain enough to know that you can't believe on me and don't believe on me because you're not my sheep. No matter what I say to you, you're not going to believe it. What I say to you, you're not going to believe it. So what a joy, what a blessing, what a rejoicing that God's enabled us to see our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ by the types, by the symbols, by the pictures, and by the shadows of the Old Testament. And I want us to look together here in Numbers 21 at this serpent of brass which prefigured and was a type of our Lord's death on a cross for sinners. And we can see the gospel of grace preached here clearly and plainly. And you know it says there in verse 8 and 9, even after the people murmured against God and murmured against Christ and murmured against Moses. Can you imagine people murmuring against God after they went through the Red Sea? Eat bread every day, go out and get fresh bread every day. Christ was that rock that followed them in the wilderness. They was discouraged and spoke against God. That's the first thing it says, spoke against God. What an awful thing to speak against God himself and then against Moses. You brought us out here to die. That's what you've done. We hate this light bread. This light bread, we just absolutely loathe. We've had enough of this. We don't ever want any more ever again. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among them. And they bit the people. Much people of Israel died. And then look what God said here now. And they asked him, please take away the serpents from us. And Moses, the Lord said unto Moses, it's God speaking to Moses now, make thee a fiery serpent, one like in that serpent that's killed these people, and set it upon a pole. And it came to pass that everyone that is bitten looketh upon it and shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a man's serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he should live. Now, a serpent was a beautiful type, perfect type, almost. For it was a serpent in the garden that deceived our mother Eve. It was a serpent that deceived her. He was cursed after that. And our Lord Jesus Christ was cursed for us. was cursed for us. And why wasn't one of those actual serpents, instead of making one out of brass and hanging it up on a pole out here, why didn't he take one of those actual serpents and nail it up there? You know why? Because if you put a serpent up there, the same one that killed all them people, it'd be like the sinner trying to save himself. Poison trying to save somebody from poison. Death trying to save somebody from death. And that's why it was in, and that's why, you know, it was made as a serpent of brass. It was like one of them serpents. But it had no venom in it, for first thing was, when that serpent up on that pole had no venom in him, like our Lord Jesus Christ had no sin in himself. And that's why it says that he was made, that that serpent is made of brass, made like them fiery serpents, but made of brass. Our Lord Jesus was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. He was in the flesh, he was in a body, but he had no sin in that flesh. He had no sin in that flesh. And that's what we're talking about. You know, the Lord Jesus, it says he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And this serpent in the wilderness prefigured our Lord Jesus Christ lifted up on the cross. Now, why would it be a serpent of brass? Why would it be a serpent of brass? Well, we've dealt with this before. Brass speaks of two things. First, it's an emblem of God's judgment, divine judgment. Like that brazen altar when you went into the tabernacle, there's a laver and they washed and they went to the brazen altar. And here, consuming fire. Fire consumed the sacrifice on that. And God, he said in another place that he would make the heavens to be brass. Have you ever had the heavens made brass for you? When they were so hard and you couldn't get you feel like that there's hard and there's left brass and you couldn't pray? God said, I'll make the heavens brass. You don't want to talk to me. You don't want to speak to me. You don't want to converse with me. I'll make the heavens brass so I can't hear you and you can't hear me. I'll make the heavens brass. And when our Lord Jesus Christ, you see him in Revelations 1, there he stands in all of his glory with a rod of brass in one hand and feet like unto golden burnished brass on his feet. To talk about judgment, he's going to bring judgment when men say, how hide us from the wrath of the Lamb that's going to come upon us. And second thing is about brass is that it's harder. It's harder than iron, silver, gold. And what this tells us is this mighty, mighty strength of our Lord Jesus Christ as he was able to endure the awful judgment of God on him for a multitude that no man can number. How could one man in such a short space of time suffer for so many? I'll tell you how he done it, because it's who it was that suffered. He's the God-man. That's why it's who it was that suffered. It's not even how much he suffered, but who suffered. And when you talk about him suffering for everyone for whom was given to him in a covenant of grace, for whom he represented on this earth, he represented all of them on that cross. And bore all their sins on that cross. Bore the judgment of God on that cross. And I tell you, that's the multitude that no man can number. Oh my. So that shows you the strength that our Savior had. In fact, he had so much strength, even in his dying hour, that our Lord Jesus Christ lifted up his head. Lifted up his head and looked out on that crowd and said, it is finished. And then he bowed his head and gave it up. They didn't take it from him. That's what he said. No man takes my life from me. Nobody took his life. You know when he died? When he willed to die. That's how much power this man had. Huh? Oh, what a... We sung that song, What a Savior. Oh, what a Savior is Jesus our Lord. Let me tell you just a few things. I got to hurry through this thing tonight. But talking about an Old Testament picture of Christ, this is a beautiful one. But let me tell you some things the people were not told to do. They were not told to do. First thing, they were not told to manufacture some kind of an ointment or salve. You know, to put on, you know, put some salve on them things. But, you know, you've been bit by a serpent. Here's some ointment. Here's some salve. We'll fix it. We'll fix that thing. But no, no. No, he said, look at that serpent lifted up. I tell you, that woman who had the issue of blood, she kept going to doctors and going to doctors, and she grew rather worse. Rather worse. People bring out the whole, they say they got hold, go to Jordan over in Israel and bring back a bottle of water and call it holy water. Go bring back a handful of dirt and put it in a bottle and call it holy dirt. And they'll tell you that stuff can do miracles for you. No, we don't want no ointment, we don't want no salve. And they were not told to minister to others. Oh, I tell you, go over and help those poor folks that's been bit. Well, I've bit myself. Oh, listen, go help them. You'll get some relief for yourselves. And that's what soul winners do. They run around. You know why they're out winning souls? Because they're scared to death that they're lost themselves. And the more that they win, the more they can convince, the more they're convinced that they're all right. But I'm going to tell you something. The only person who can convince you that you're all right before God is God Himself. And if He gives you assurance, ain't nobody can talk you out of it either. I tell you, you know, a drowning man can't be saved by somebody who can't swim. Ain't that right? And one dead man can't give life to another dead man. And that's what his soul winning business is about. Oh, ministering to others. And they were not told to fight the fiery serpents. They didn't say, get you a stick and go out here and start killing these serpents. If they had killed 1,000 serpents, they had still been bitten and they still going to die. Huh? And oh my, let's get a committee together. What are we going to do to deal with these fiery serpents? We'll get a committee together. That's what we'll do. And you'll be the head of the committee. But oh, that's what they want to do. They want a committee. And I tell you, you know, there's people. This is the thing. You know as well as I do. People fight every kind of ism that there is. Communism, materialism. Oh, they fight drinking, picture shows, abortion, rock music. And not any of those things you fight against has ever brought one soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. I could preach on abortion, and everybody knows that's wrong. I could preach about communism and socialism and all those things and the motherism and against denominationalism and materialism, but not one soul would be brought to Christ preaching on an ism. Never has been and never will be. Huh? Oh my, that's why he said, our Lord said, as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him, here it's looking. And here's something else they were not told to do. They were not told to make an offering to the serpent. Oh, listen, y'all bring your money up here, and God will really bless you. I've seen folks years ago, I mean, put gold watches and rings and everything else in offerings because the preachers told them, God will bless you. Oh, listen, they just pile everything they could get in them big old boxes. But I tell you what, he said, say, make an offering to the serpent. There's no payment price. No payment price for healing of life. You see, grace can't be brought. Grace can't be bought by works, by will, or by merit. If it could, it would cease to be grace. If you could earn it, buy it, or work for it, or will to have it, then it wouldn't be grace anymore, would it? And here's another thing. They were not told to pray to the serpent. Oh, get down and pray for that to that serpent. You know, this is... I'm going to tell you two things about prayer that people say that's so... They say, I want you to pray real hard. Now, will you tell me what it is to pray real hard? And then others say, well, I'll tell you what, pray till you pray through. Pray through what? You know, and those are things that people say. But you know what he says? Don't pray to that serpent. Don't pray. He said, look and live. Look and live. They weren't told to look to Moses even. They weren't told to look to Moses. Moses was the lawgiver. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. To him all the prophets gave witness. Moses, God, our Lord said, Moses wrote about me. And they weren't told to look at Moses. And here's the last thing that they were not told to do. Well, look at your wounds. Look at your wounds. Oh my. If I'm a big enough sinner, bad enough sinner, sinful enough sinner, then God will save me. You know, people want to qualify how bad a man has to be. And all Christ said was he came to save sinners. Huh? That's all he said. He didn't qualify it. Big sinners, bad sinners, worse sinners, meaner sinners. Bad sinners, big enough sinners. If I can, you know, if we can't measure our sin. I just know it's bad enough that I need Christ. Mm-hmm. I do know that. I know that. Oh, I know it. I need him. And I tell you what, then, but all it says here is that they knew they were bitten, and all it was necessary for them to do was look, and when they looked, they lived. And you know, some of them might have been bitten more than once. I don't know. But it says there, you know, in verse 6, it said, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. But now let's talk about the serpent lifted up. Christ lifted up. First of all, it was God's provision. Look what it said in verse 8. God did this. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that's bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Oh my. And God told Moses to make a serpent. God did this. This, the Lord provided this. Just as he provided the salvation that we have in Christ. Nobody, God sent his son. No one sent after him. God gave his son. Nobody asked for him to be given. He did it because he would. And it was his good pleasure and for his glory and our salvation. And the people were stung by these fiery serpents, mortally wounded. And the blood, their blood was filled with poison. Poison. You know, and I've known people's got bitten by rattlesnakes and copperheads since I've been down here. I don't know how many. I was a little 2-year-old got bit. And the first thing they want you to do is bring the snake with you if you can, so they'll know what kind of snake it is, so they give you the right kind of antivenom. But I tell you, there ain't no antivenom for this. You know, the only antivenom that would save a man in this situation when he was mortally wounded and stung by these fiery serpents and that blood was poisoned, that blood was streaming through their system and it had that poison in it and it was going to their heart, going to their brain, and then already killed a bunch. Oh my. I tell you that. And I tell you, many already died. But I tell you, beloved, this is what we need. I'm telling you, the serpent, that serpent, we needed Christ. Our blood was poisoned. Sin was in our blood. God inherited from our father Adam, and I inherited from my grandpa, and my great-grandpa, and my great-grandpa, and my daddy, and I passed it on to my children. And who in the world's going to deal with this blood disease? There's only one person that can. And it takes blood to kill the blood disease. And it's the blood of Christ that'll kill that disease. By His stripes, we're healed, the Scriptures tell us. Huh? And that serpent was lifted up. Lifted up. I mean, he got up high enough where people could look. Christ was lifted up. And he said he would be. Said he would be. He said, when the Son of Man is lifted up, he'll draw all unto him. It says all men, but the men is in italicized. That means he's going to bring all, just to all for whom he died. And signifying what death he should die. And I'll tell you something else about this servant. It was God provided it. Moses, make you a fiery serpent. See them, how they look? I want one just like it. But I want it made out of brass. Huh? And that serpent was hung out publicly that all may see it. Everybody may see it. Hung up way high where folks could look. Be a long way off and could look. They may be on their dying, almost in their dying breath. But if they looked, and that means their eyes were dim and foggy. But if they looked, and they were just shadows was coming over their eyes. If they looked, them shadows just disappeared like that. Life came. Life came. And that serpent was hung out publicly that all may see. And our Lord Jesus Christ has been set forth publicly. Whom God set forth is what it says in Romans 3. Whom God set forth. As God made this provision, He set forth His blessed Son. He set Him forth through the womb of a virgin. Set Him forth as a poor boy. Set Him forth as a poor man. Set Him forth as a man with acquainted with grief and sorrow, and then set Him forth as a representative, set Him forth as His first elect, set Him forth to die for sinners, set Him forth and set Him forth publicly, right up there for everybody to see. Instead of anybody walking by with any compassion and pity for our blessed Savior, they walked by and wagged their head and said, He saved others and He can't even save Himself. He said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? When one said he's calling for Elijah. Let's see if Elijah will come and save him. But God hung him out there for everybody to see. And it was such a spectacle. It's everything that happened. Bless God for this. Bless God for this. Everything that happened from the day that God created Adam in the Garden of Eden and made this world and put light in it and darkness in it and the stars in the heaven and laid the foundation of the earth until this thing ends up, the greatest thing that ever happened between them eternities is when God set forth His Son and some people looked. As some people live. And some people cursed and they died. And like these people, they spake against God and against Moses. And yet God saved some of them and their miserable, wretched condition with poison in their blood. He gave them a remedy. He gave them a serpent lifted up. And us, with that poison in our blood, poison under the asp of our tongue, and our tongue is so deadly, got poison in it. And I tell you, he hung him out for men and women whose blood was so poisoned. And they didn't know they was dying, didn't know they was poisoned until God came along and set him out there. And he said, oh my, you reckon he did that for me? And God opened your eyes and said, yeah, he did. Oh, and then God made a promise. God made a promise. Look at the promise that he made. In verse 8 and 9. He said, last part of the verse, everyone that is bitten. You see that? That's bitten. When he looketh upon it, shall live. Moses made a serpent of brass, put it upon a pole. It came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. If God says you're going to live if you look, you're going to live. God said, if you look, I promise you this. That's what he said. If you look, I promise you this. You're going to live. Huh? And is that not what he told us about his son? Ain't that what Christ said about himself? He that believeth on me, the same thing as looking, believing, coming. And I tell you, he looked upon it. Shirley and I singing that song on the way to church. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. It is written in his word, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. And you know, you say, that's too simple. That's what God said. But here's the kicker. You have to be bitten. If you're not bitten, you won't look. But if you've been bitten, you're going to look, and you're going to keep on looking and keep on looking. Ain't that right? Old Moses or the law couldn't save the people. Only by looking to the brazen serpent, only the Lord Jesus can save from sin. There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, our Lord Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. If you want the way, you want the truth, you want life, you got to come to me. Look to me. Huh? And that serpent was lifted up. So for those who were too far gone to crawl and get closer and closer to that brass serpent, you know that thing was lifted up so high, there's no telling how far off you could be and still see that brass serpent. Some people was probably a football field farther from it. No telling how. And all over the place. All over, on all sides of it. Boy, if they was able to look, they might have been laying on the ground just almost gone. Almost gone. Oh, my God. Oh, help me. I've got to look. Oh, life come right back into them. Like that valley of dry bones. When they looked, life, their body. It's like, you know, when Lazarus come forth from the tomb, here's the thing about it. He is bound hand and foot. What the scripture says. Now, how in the world did he get out of there? He come because Christ told him. Christ can move inanimate objects. And I tell you, let me tell you, a serpent killed and wounded these people. And a serpent lifted up saved these people. Huh? And as far as God's concerned, there's only two men in this world, Adam and Christ. By Adam came sin. Sin came death. Huh? And I tell you, an evil nature come through that. Separation from God came through that. But Christ our Lord, like that serpent lifted up, Christ brought life. Christ brought righteousness. Christ brought a holy nature. Christ reconciled us to God. And Christ put away the cause of death, which was sin. That's why we cannot die. We cannot die. The body can, but we can't. You know, God made us living souls, inhabiting dying bodies. And oh my, And that brazen serpent, healed only the wounds of the body. That's all it did. And just saved them from a temporal death. But Christ, our Lord, heals the soul and saves to eternal life, like I just said, because He put away the cause of death, which is sin. Huh? Oh my, not only, you know, when you preach against sins, you just trimming the tree. That's all you're doing, trimming the branches. You know, we all know to trim trees, but Joe's been trimming branches for last week, I reckon, but just trimming stuff all the time. But when you want to get rid of something, you got to go down the root and kill all the root. Well, that's what Christ deals with. He don't deal with the branches, He deals with the root. He gets rid of the root. Oh my, He deals with what the nature is, the sinful nature. Huh? And I tell you what, all who had need of healing came to Him. And I tell you, that's what He does. He heals all that are bitten. And the serpent, this serpent had its virtue to heal and saved, but was never, ever to be worshipped. Now I want you to keep Numbers 21. Now I want you to look with me over to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 18. And verse 4. Oh, listen to this now. Oh boy. The serpent had lost its virtue to heal and save. It was taken down and was not to be worshipped. Look what he said here in verse 4 of 2 Kings 18. This is talking about Hezekiah, good king. God used him. He removed the high places, break the images, and cut down the groves. And listen to this. And broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. Now listen to this now. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan, a piece of brass. And he destroyed it, because men will make an idol out of anything they can. And there's making an idol out of that serpent of brass. It had to be destroyed. But our Lord's blood, that serpent lost its virtue, but our Lord's blood, oh, and His power to save will never, ever lose His power. Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, and forever. We sang that old song, Dear Dying Lamb, Thy Precious Blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Huh? And I tell you, no matter how many times and how much poison was in a man, he was told to look and to live. Huh? Oh, it's like that woman said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Those lepers, when he come down off the mountain, said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And I don't care how weak a person's eyes is. You know, people say, well, my faith is so small. He didn't say how much faith you had to have, as long as it's in the right person. Little faith will save you as much as big faith will. I love that, don't you? I love that. If you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed. And that serpent was an unlikely thing to human reason to heal them wounds. If I was a betting man, and I'm not, but if I was, I would say there was a lot of those people that was so heady and so high-minded and so angry at God for what He had done that they refused to look and refused to be healed. And they died. Huh? Because this don't make sense. To look to a brass serpent up yonder, that don't even make sense. I've been bitten by a serpent and by a snake and I'm dying, and he's telling me that I got to look to a brass serpent to be saved. And they thought that's happened. No telling how many of them died with they was too hard-hearted, too proud, and too self-righteous to look. There no doubt was some in that crowd that way. They really were. And that's what Christ crucified is to most people. It's utterly and absolutely foolishness. It's foolishness to them. Oh my, you mean to tell me that it takes the death of Christ to save a sinner? Yes. And it takes more than just the death. It takes the blood shedding. Yeah. It takes the burial. It takes the resurrection. Yeah. It takes all of Christ, all of His life, and all of His death, and all of His resurrection, and all of His ascension. It takes Christ and all He is and all He did to save a sinner. Huh? Oh my. But I'm telling you what, to me, this is the power and wisdom of God, is Christ is. And let me, and I'm going to close with this right here. We became lost sinners by a look. Eve saw that tree was good for food and to make one wise when she saw that tree. And you know how we're saved? We're saved by a look. Yeah, we're saved by. You know, God said, "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved. For I'm a just God and a Savior." And our spiritual life continues with a look. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And you know, our life will end with a look. Looking for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Starts with a look, continues with a look, and go to end with a look. Some start to finish. One thing that they had to do, they had to look. And if a man don't look to Christ, and there's only one reason a person won't look to Christ, is they're not a sinner. The only reason that anybody wouldn't look to that was this bitten or too proud. But oh, you're looking at a man that desperately, desperately, desperately needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Got to have Him. It's what you say, James. God, we've got to have Him. Got to. Our Father. Oh, precious Father. Blessed Savior. Oh, our God. Thank You for allowing us to meet here tonight. Thank You for allowing us to speak of Your blessed Son again. Thank You for allowing us to talk of Him, speak about Him, show things from the Old Testament. But oh Lord, we look, we look, we look, we look. We gathered here tonight to look. We gathered here tonight to lift up our hearts and our souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. To look to Him again for our whole salvation. For our comfort, for our assurance. For our joy, our peace. For our assurance. We look only to Him. God bless these dear saints. Preserve them and keep them. And Lord, bless the ones that are not coming yet to come back. Lord, to come and be in the services. God is here. Christ is here. It's time to come and fellowship with the Lord's people. God, bring them. Touch them in their hearts. Touch them in their souls. Bring them to meet with us. Worship with us, to be with the brethren. We thank You and praise You in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing just two verses of that Look and Live. 195, I believe, is what it is. Let's stand together. 195. I think that's right. Let's sing that. First and second verses. I've a message from the Lord, hallelujah. His message unto you I'll give. 'Tis recorded in His word, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. Look and live, look and live, my brother. Recorded in His word, hallelujah. of love. Hallelujah. E-message, oh my friend, from you. 'Tis a message from above. Hallelujah. Jesus said it and I know.